My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you cry out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is the shield for those who walk. He is the shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guide you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will also save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain to the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it.
Well, good evening, you all. Do you say you all in Australia?
No.
You all?
No.
You know what I mean.
You all.
Yeah.
Well, it's really good to see you. If you don't know me, my name is Kian. I should show this slide to you.
There you go.
My name is Kian. I'm a staff worker at Credo. I'm working for International Students Group in Credo. If you don't know, that there are a third of UTS is basically international students. Isn't that exciting? Yes. So they all come from overseas. They come here to study. And I've been working for about 6 years. My main job basically in UTS is teaching international students the Bible. And many of them are not Christians, come to Credo groups, come to Credo small groups, and learn the Bible. That's exciting. Let me just introduce you to my family. I'm married to Lisa for 18 years, and God gave us 2 sons, Josiah and Joel, and they go to the best school in the world, I think. it's Pacific Hills in Duro. And I think they're all very blessed, and they all very enjoy school. There is not a single day that they don't want to go to school. So that's a good sign, right? I've been working amongst internationals. Some of the groups, like this one, is a normal, regular group in focus in the group of international students in Credo. And we usually go out for lunch, for dinner. And we also have focus camp together with Macquarie at the early July this year. Well, I'm excited to start the new series under the Book of Proverbs. And this will go basically until week 14. So I'm going to start from Proverbs chapter 2 today, just opening up the way basically for all others to continue. And today we're going to look at the topic under what's called the search for wisdom. And following weeks, we will go into different topicals, topicals discussion or maybe topicals talk. And we will go through different topics such as friendship, such as money, generosity, discipline, and how to trust in God. Okay? So that's the plan for the rest of the semester. Well, I'm not sure about you, but I desperately need wisdom. Okay? I do desperately need wisdom. I remember before I got married, about 18 years ago, a friend of mine came to me and tell me about wisdom. So he told me about wisdom. Remember, Kian, before you got married, you need to learn about this. Number one, if you want to change the world, do it when you are a bachelor. Because after marriage, you can't even change a TV channel. That's what he said. Number two, listening to wife is like reading terms and conditions on the website. You understand nothing, but still you agree. Number Number three, chess is the only game in the world which reflects the status of the husband. The poor king can only take one step at a time, while the mighty queen can do whatever she likes. And number four, he said, all men are brave. Horror movies basically don't scare them, but 5 missed calls from a wife, that surely do. I still treasure these wisdom words even until now. Well, the thing is that why do I need these sayings? Well, I remember that 18 years ago, I was just so young. I was so inexperienced. And my parents, I grew up in Indonesia, my parents kept on telling me that you were just so green, you were so inexperienced. In fact, they said that you smell like onion. That's the phrase that they use for inexperienced people. Okay. And I think I still smell like onion today. And I hope that you all in this room smell like onion. That you realize that you need wisdom. You do need wisdom for different things as uni students. You do need wisdom in terms of what time do you have to wake up in the morning in order to get to uni on time for 9 a.m. lecture. That's very tricky, isn't it? Right? What time do you have to start your assignment so that you can finish it on time in week 14? What time do you need to be home on Friday night before your parents start calling the cops, start calling police and report for missing person? Well, I think, in fact, that at every decision in life, at every circumstance in life, we are faced to pursue wisdom in godly way, to act upon it, or to fall into foolishness and self-seeking decision. At every circumstance in life, I believe that we are faced with that. Well, let me tell you good news. The good news is that the Bible here to help us. It's here to help us. And the good news is that it provides wisdom for everyday living. That's why we're going to do different topics in the following weeks. But the Bible also provides us ultimately with the super wisdom above all. The one that is above all. The one that comes above all. And I think we're going to look at it in chapter 2 today, Proverbs chapter 2. Well, let's read from Proverbs 2, from verses 1 to 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as it for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Well, I don't think it is too surprising because this is written by a father, I assume, who is talking to his son. And, you know, if you have been reading the Bible, you know that the book of Proverbs, most people think that it was written by King Solomon. So this is like the greatest king in Israel. So when he was writing this and talking to his son, you know, we can imagine that he's talking to his royal son. So this is the heir of the kingdom. There is no reason why, as stated here, but the father assumes that wisdom is the first importance. This is to the degree of the first importance above all. So forget about the latest news of iPhone 6. Okay? Forget about whatever things that we need to do next week for tutorial week or for exam week or whatever. Okay? This is much more important. This is far above all those things. And if you are here seeking to know what God wants you to want and what is His deepest desire is for you to have wisdom. That wisdom that comes from God. And to have this wisdom above all. He's like basically like the father here, who wants his children to have wisdom. So God wants you to have wisdom. Well, the question for you, dear students, is that how are we going to get it, right? So we are practical, right? We are practical. How are we going to get it? Proverbs chapter 2 actually tells us how you're going to get it. So it seems that there is no such requirement for you to get it. There is nothing such as, you know, you need to be intellectually gifted, or you need to be smart, or you need to have a certain IQ level or whatever. No. In fact, that when you want to have one, what does it say? As long as you're turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry out for understanding, and if you look for it as you look for silver and search of it as you look for hidden treasure, it means that as long as you wanted more anything than silver, more than anything than hidden treasure, more than anything the world can offer, you're going to get it. That's what God says in His Word. More than your part, more than your degree, more than your career, more than your future, more than anything, basically, you're going to get it. But the most intriguing question is, why do we need to seek it with all of our hearts? Well, it's very interesting that in verses 5, and I'm going to continue to verses 6, actually it says that you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. There are two things that I want you to note. First of all, we need to understand that this wisdom is solely, only belongs to God Himself. So in other words, that it is actually divine. Look at verse 5. You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you are seeking biblical wisdom, if you are seeking God, basically you are seeking a personal relationship with Him. You are seeking your desire basically to be His child. And you want to follow Him who is the wisdom Himself. And that's basically what pleases Him. But not only that, it also says that you will understand the fear of the Lord. If you have read the book of Proverbs before, you realize that this phrase is actually quite common in the book of Proverbs. Understanding the fear of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord. This phrase basically is quite common. It's not just fearing like trembling or anything, but come to God in reverence, in awe, knowing that He is God. But not only God that we are talking about here in verse 5, it says that understand the fear of the Lord. So this is not just any God. This is not just any divine being, but this is understanding the Lord. And this is the name basically that He reveals Himself in the Old Testament, Yahweh. So He says that it's very personal, and when you ask for wisdom, basically you ask for a relationship, a personal relationship with God. And I believe that that's the biggest mystery in human life. It's basically to seek the knowledge of God and to have a personal relationship with God. And when you ask, believe me, that God will give it to you generously. Look at verse 6. There's nothing as condition here. For the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. God will give it to you generously. If you are familiar with the Old Testament, you are familiar with King Solomon, as I mentioned before. In 1 Kings chapter 3, basically God came to King Solomon at one night in a dream. And God says that, okay, what do you want me to give to you, Solomon? What do you want me to give to you? Okay, this is God, right? This is not Kian Polik. This is not someone else. This is God. And God says, Solomon, what do you want me to give to you? And Solomon said to God that, you know, God, you've been kind to my father David. You have blessed his kingdom. You blessed basically all the way until it transitions basically to me. And now, basically, what I really want is just to give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to govern my kingdom, and also give me wisdom so I can distinguish between right and wrong. And you know what happened? The Bible says that this basically is pleasing to the eyes of God. This is pleasing to God. And God says, I will certainly give it to you. I will even give to you more than other things that you don't ask me for. So I will give to you all other things that you don't ask for. So that's what it is. God will give it to you generously. But not only that, look at number 2. Wisdom not only belongs to God Himself, but secondly, we are so desperate basically in needing this wisdom, as I stated earlier. Just think about today, since you woke up in the morning until now, okay? Have you said some stupid things? I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about it. Have you done stupid things? I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about it. I have, yes. I hope you have too. Well, let me just tell you here that you may be Christians in this room. And you have been Christians for many, many years. But, you know, when you come to a very delicate situation, that you need the wisdom that comes from God. I just had a friend whose father, basically on his deathbed, and the only way that the father can stay alive is actually by having this medical instrument. You know what? That medical instrument has been on with his dying father, basically, for 10 years. 10 years, can you imagine? Decision now is whether to keep that medical instrument or to take it off. The doctor says that it's hopeless. I think you better make a decision. What would you do? In that difficult situation, I believe that you need wisdom. If you ask for it with all your heart, God will give it to you. Well, the question is, what do we get when we ask for wisdom? J.I. Packer, who wrote the book called Knowing God, this is one of the first books that I read after I became Christian. And I think this is something that I can recommend to you. If you haven't read that book, please buy that book and read that book. He says in one paragraph in his book, he says that biblical wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. So let me just highlight for you two things. The best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. So what that means is that this is not just an understanding about the right end. When you have wisdom of God, it's not just understanding about the right end, but about the right means, basically, to accomplish that right end. So the question is, what is the right end of my life? And what are the right means that you need to accomplish that right end? And I believe that biblical wisdom will give you the answer. So the issue is, what are involved as you make decisions? What does wisdom look like in action? Well, in the next slide, I summarize this actually in these three steps. Under knowledge, discernment, and action. And what is interesting is that the Bible uses words like knowledge and discernment interchangeably. But I believe that the Bible wants us to understand that in the process of a wise decision, what you need actually knowledge, and from knowledge you move to discernment, and you move to action. And what is amazing is that the Bible says that in all these three things, God has them all. God has them all in the wisest sense possible. He is omniscient, first of all, that He is all-knowing. He knows everything in the past, He knows everything in the future, He knows everything now, even in the present. And God also made discerning decisions, basically, based on His knowledge. And not only that, but God also acted based upon those things for His glory. And you know what? The good news is that God is willing to give this to us. Knowledge, discernment, and action, if we ask Him with all of our heart. So if you want to seek wisdom with all of your heart, do it with all of your, come and seek it with all your heart. Seek it truly, basically, and God will give it to you generously. Well, what does wisdom look like practically in action? Well, let me just tell you that I'm going to give you an example, but this example is far, far from perfect. But let me share this with you. Well, some of you may already know, I've been serving in Credo for 6 years, and after about a year of praying and thinking and asking counsel, I discerned finally that this is time for me to move on. So from next year, I will no longer be at Credo. I will move to Macquarie University and start an exciting ministry over there amongst postgraduates or PhD international students. But when myself and my wife decided to do that, we were praying and we were asking God to give us wisdom. Wisdom not only where to move, but wisdom about when to move, or should we make a move at all. But how is this process, this whole process, in action? Well, let me just share it to you. First of all, I realize that I do have this ultimate wisdom that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. I know that I love God. I know that I love Jesus. And I know that I've been following God and following Jesus basically since I was 16 years old when I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And I realized that He's my King. He's the one who governs my life, who directed my life. And I also know that I want to see the gospel, the good news, go forth, not only in Australia, but to the ends of the world. And I know that most of the PhD internationals who study in Australia will eventually go back to their home countries and serve in their home countries in strategic places, in different places, in the government, in the military, and also in universities. And I also know that the number of PhD students in Macquarie is like triple the number of PhD students internationals in UTS. And I also know that I need to love my family, who live 33 kilometers away from UTS, but only 16 kilometers from Macquarie. And all of those things are knowledge, basically, for me. Then I prayed and I reflected from God's word, and I also made a discerning decision. I need to talk to some people. I need to talk to my current boss, Paul Winch. He's not happy about it, but he's now happy. But when I first talked to him, he wasn't so happy. I also need to talk to Scott Warner, who is my future boss. And I also need to talk to people in leadership in AFES. And I also need to talk to my financial supporters, to my friends, whom I think are wise. And I also got encouragement, basically, for them to push this. And after got good counsel from them, and after months of praying, thinking, discerning, and going back to praying, thinking, discerning, then I made a discerning decision that it's time for me to leave. But that's not going to happen, right? Until it came to action. Until basically I applied. Until I went to interview. And finally, until, you know, at the moment, I tried to say goodbye basically to Credo and to Focus. And to goodbye well and also to transition well. And all of this, the Bible says, that God will give these things to us if we ask this with all of our hearts. If we ask this with all of our hearts, He will give this wisdom to us. Well, how do people see when you have wisdom? It's very interesting. If you look at verses 9 to 19 in your Bible, or in your tablet, or maybe in your phone, it's very interesting that from verse 9 to 19, a few different verses here repeatedly say that wisdom basically will protect you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked. That's what few verses says that. But what does that mean? I think verse 9 basically is the one that kind of summarized the whole thing on that section from verses 9 to 19. What it means is that you will understand what is right and just and fair for every good path. What does it really mean in practice? It means that you will flourish. So if you get wisdom of God, your life will flourish. Your relationship with God will flourish. Your relationship with other people in Credo will flourish. With other people in church will flourish. Your relationship with uni friends who are not Christian will flourish. And that's basically what happens to Solomon, isn't it? That's what happened to King Solomon. Just in 1 Kings chapter 3, after God basically gave wisdom to Solomon, two prostitutes came to Solomon with their child. And they both claim that this is their child. One of their child basically has died. And both of them said that this is my child. And the thing is that no one knew who was telling the truth. Well, Solomon, who is full of wisdom, basically asked for a sword. And with this sword, he said that let's just chop this baby into two. Give one half to one lady and the other half to the other lady. That's fair, right? But one lady says that, yeah, let's do it. The other lady says that, no, I'm going to give that child to the other lady. And Solomon said that, that's the matter. That's what it means, wisdom in action. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, if you read 1 Kings, continue on to read 1 Kings from the story of Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 10, you see that all the people from the world, they all flocked into Jerusalem, and they all flocked to ask wisdom from Solomon, including Queen of Sheba, a wealthy and full worldly wisdom. And I believe that the lives of those people were positively impacted by the wisdom that Solomon has. Where does Solomon get all of this? It is from God. God gave it to him. What is the true indication that you are flourishing? What is the true indication that you are flourishing? Well, I believe that people will start observing your life. People will start coming to you and asking for advice. And people will start basically look at you and see what you say and what you do match up. And their lives will change because of that. And I think that's a good sign that you are flourishing, that you have this wisdom of God. And they will say that you have accomplished the right end through the right means, basically. That's what it means. Well, the question is, how do we get this wisdom now? How do we get this wisdom now? The good news is that this ultimate wisdom of God has been given to us. So 1,000 years later after Solomon, one came after Solomon. His name is Jesus Christ. And in Colossians chapter 2 in the New Testament, Paul says that Jesus Christ is the conclusion. He is the summary of all wisdom. And when he was born, that all God's creation and all wise persons basically come to Jesus and worship Jesus. This wise man came all the way to worship the newborn king. And at the age of 12, the Bible says that Jesus grew up in wisdom and in stature. What is the very heart of wisdom itself? It can be found in the gospel, the good news, that is Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the Jews considered it basically as a stumbling block, and the Gentiles considered it as foolishness. But for those who are being saved, Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So the wisdom of God basically forgives all the foolishness of people who were once against God. And this wisdom of God continues to be poured out to those who already have it. And God says that basically this wisdom can only be found, first of all, in Christ. And that's what Solomon is directing our attention basically in Proverbs chapter 2. So if you are not a follower of Jesus in this room and want to have the wisdom of God, then I suggest you to come to God and ask for it. Ask God with all of your heart. Ask God as if you are seeking silver, as if you are seeking hidden treasure, and leave everything behind. And ask Jesus, basically, who is the wisdom of God, to be the center of your life. He is the one who forgives our sin, present, past, future, and start following him. And make his word, basically, as the center of your life, as the one who directs your life, governs your life. If you are a follower of Jesus in this room, you got a good start. You got a good start, let me just tell you. But let me suggest to you that make sure that he is in the right place of your life. And he's the one who is directing your life. You know that in my room, I have different boxes where I can store some stuff, right? And sometimes we just basically store Jesus in one of those boxes and take him out when you need him. You know, around this week, or maybe week 14, or something like that. That's when you need him, right? The most. Well, that's not the way it is. The way it is for you, basically, to put Jesus in the center of your life, to make him is the one who's governing your life. And I believe that his spirit will help you in making wise decisions in your life for his glory. The right end through the right means to accomplish the end. Well, the question is, if we have that right end, if we know Jesus, and if we know the ultimate wisdom of God, then what? So what? Well, is this going to be over? Well, verses 20 to 22 basically gives us a good ending. When it says that thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Well, the wicked here, who thinks that they are wise, the wise of the world, they will become the fools. God basically will root them out, and they will become eternal fools. But those who the world considers foolish, who once went against God, what's going to happen to them? They will be the upright. They will be the blameless. And on that last day, they will be the wise ones of the universe. And they will be the one who worship the one and true living God. and they will be sustained forever in the eternal land in heaven. And in this right hand, basically, God's name will be glorified. And that's basically the end that God wants, that every one of us to worship Him, to glorify Him. And the right mean, let me just tell you, the right mean suited to accomplish that right end is actually by sending His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be born as a human being, to live a life of sacrifice, to die on the cross for the sin of His people, to be resurrected back to life, to ascend to heaven, and now is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And He will come to judge the living and the dead. And that surely is the right means to accomplish that right hand. My question to you today is that, do you want to accept that wisdom? The wisdom of God in human beings. John chapter 1 says that this wisdom has come in Jesus Christ, who came and make His dwelling amongst us. He's here. He's available. And it's for you, basically, to get Him, to ask Him to be the King of your life.